Okay, let's begin. Pasuk page 300. We are on page 300. We're at the pasuk Tezayin. Ein Hashem el tzadikim v'oznav el shavos. And Hashem's eyes are towards the tzadikim. V'oznav his ears el shav osam. El ordinarily means towards. Ezra was machadish the nusach. We say very often hatei elokai oznecha. Hashem, bend your ear. What does that mean exactly? To bend your ear. It means to listen. You don't have to bend your ear to listen. The sound waves travel very far. Bend your ear. There's something
of special attention.
Oh, so that's something similar to what it says over here. The oznav, Hashem's ears. Kavliach, Hashem, of course, does not have ears. It just means over here, we're giving Hashem characteristics in order for us to relate to. El shavosam. Obviously, there's an element you can listen. I think in Yiddish, what do they say in Yiddish? Doher? Is that the expression? Is the expression in Yiddish? Doher, how does he say it? So doher doesn't just mean listen. Doher means pay close attention, hearken. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Does it just mean listen? You can listen casually. Shema in that context means pay close attention. Listen, it's a very weak translation. Listen.
Shema Yisrael is not translated as listen. It's always translated as hear.
So here, okay, I don't know that. Here, hearken. Haskes Ushema Yisrael. What does it mean, Haskes? Haskes? I don't know. Hearken, pay close attention.
Haskim.
Sorry?
More Haskim.
Haskel, be wise. Haskein.
No. Hear and listen and learn from this.
To learn.
What Hashema?
It's an intensity. There's a listening that involves intensity. Pay attention. Focus in on what you're about to learn. Right. Here you have the same principle, the Oznav Hashem's ears, El Shavasam. There is an element over here of not just to listen, just that listen, but El. El here has, again, that connotation where there's an intensity. Let's read a few Pesukim together.
When you say bend your ear, it means to listen closely, because when you bend your ear, you hear better.
Do you really?
Oh yeah, I do this all the time.
It's like
100%.
It's like you would go like this, or have some sort of device, but a
column. When you bend your ear, you can't hear. You bend your ear and you hear better.
Okay. We have to study that scientifically.
It also probably means you lean towards that person.
Many times when people do that, they're not going to be hearing any better. It's just a way of demonstrating, signaling to the speaker. Raise your voice, we can't hear you. Does it really, really, really
no,
make a
that.
Difference?
I've done that.
What?
Like this.
To signal.
Yeah.
It's just nothing more than a signal most of the time. Most of the time when you see people doing that, they are signaling to the speaker, raise your voice in a polite way. Does it really, when you do this, does it really change the sound waves?
It definitely does.
Okay, I accept. I accept.
The same thing with the N9.
Yeah.
If you look there and you hear from there, it's not the same.
Well, eyes, obviously, when it comes to seeing, look, you only can see what's in front of you, but you can hear what's happening behind you. Sound is an incredible...
You hear, but you don't listen.
Okay, you hear, you listen, but you don't hear, you mean. You listen, but you don't hear. Right, it doesn't mean anything to you, or you ignore it. My parent, my father, he grew up in the Borough Park and New Utrecht Avenue, literally right under the train, his entire youth until he got married.
And he never heard the train.
So yes, and how do you go? We used to go visit my grandparents, and like, you know, your mother, the whole block literally shakes. How do you live here? How did you even survive? Because I never heard it. We never ever heard the train.
We didn't realize until we saw. So we lived in the apartments. It was a block from the Williamsburg Bridge. The trains and the traffic, and we never realized. You know, when we first realized the amount when there was a blackout in '77 in the summertime. So all of a sudden there was no traffic on the Williamsburg Bridge, and there was no trains, and everybody was standing in the street and going, "Wow." Suddenly it was so quiet nobody
it's
realized
so quiet.
That the level of noise was so deafening that but we never thought about
it's
it.
True, there was once someone's telling me that they know they had someone from Lakewood, children from Lakewood came to Flatbush to visit. And the kid's sitting there in the dining room, and he's playing, and all of a sudden the kid says, "It's so quiet." And the person there understood that we're at home, where he lives, Baruch Hashem, there's so many children, and there's so much noise. It's a novelty. It was literally a novelty to go into a room somewhere in a different world in Tzfatosh, where there's not so much noise, and it's actually quiet. When you go up in an environment, Baruch Hashem, where there's so many children, and the whole day everyone is bustling and they're moving around, it's like you're not used to quiet. Any event, let's go back over here. It says, "Eni Hashem."
How is the learning in the yeshiva? You sit in a hall with
150
people, everybody screaming.
Not for me.
And I hear myself in my computer.
I don't hear anything. I don't know. I know. It never. I hear what you're saying. It's a problem.
It's too much of a noise.
When I was in the Chaim Berlin in high school, so they redid the Beis Medrash. They put up a drop ceiling. I know there are different types of drop ceilings. There's a lot of chokhmah in the drop ceiling because some of them absorb sound, and some of them reflect. So they put up a ceiling where it reflected the sound, and it was literally deafening in the Beis Medrash when during Seder. Too much, and it was a problem. And they had to maybe take down the ceiling, put up the foam drop ceilings, which absorbed the sound because it was just out of control. You couldn't hear yourself. When you have 100 boys sitting and screaming on top of their lungs, high school boys, it's not necessarily a good thing. Everything has to be done with the balance. You're right, in the library, it's quiet. The Beis Medrash, the Mulcham to Shelter. Any event, the Ozan Oshav Osam, let's do Pasuk, if you psukim together, let's finish up the period, we'll try to do the psukim together. Pasuk Yud Zayin, on page 300. Pasuk Yud Zayin, Mizmor Lamed Aleph, Pnei Hashem Be'osei Ra. The Pnei Hashem is a metaphor. The Pnei means the anger, the Panim. The Panim is an expression of being upset. We'll see the Mefarshim in a few moments. If you look right now, Kass. Charon, the fury of his nostrils. The Panim, when we say the word Panim very often refers to the nose. The nose is the most distinguished characteristic of the face. To the point that in the laws of identifying a dead man, in order to permit his wife to remarry, the Gemara says it is critical that you see the nose. Okay, let's say a person is only able to see the mouth, only able to see the eyes. So that's not sufficient. What is an absolute necessity to testify that a person actually is the person that you want to identify is to see the nose. The nose, there's a certain uniqueness. So it's interesting that when you say the word panim here, as Rav Mechol just said, charoin apoy, in this context it's understood simply according to some of the Mefarshim at least, that it means Hashem's anger. If you look at the Mitzudos Tzion on page 301, on the very, very bottom, he says the word Pinei Inyan Ka'asu V'chein Etein Esponai. Why? What does the word Ponim have to do with a Kas? Because Kas is expressed in smoke, in heat, in a person's nostrils. Charoin Apoi. When a person gets angry, he breathes heavily, and there is heat coming forth from his nostrils. So we're focusing really specifically on the nose. And the nose is the most distinguished characteristic of the panim. So it's like, you know, it's like a whole chadgadya. We're talking about anger, and anger is expressed in the nose. And the nose is the distinguished feature of the panim. If A equals B and B equals C and C equals D, so A equals D. That's in essence what we're doing over here.
Interesting here. Einei Hashem el tzadikim, ve'oznav el shamatam. Einei Hashem be'ozera.
The base.
Not el.
El. The Pnei Hashem is be'o. So does that, is that good or bad? Is that more intense or is that lighter? Okay, we have to see. Let's see. Anger. Einei Hashem el. El is l'chiba. The midah of good is always greater than the midah of ra. So when it comes to love, when it says Einei Hashem el. El, you have to understand it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is actively involved. There is an intensity. When Hashem gets angry, Hashem holds back. Pnei Hashem be'oseira. But Hashem is not el oseira. It's less. You have to say that. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, now when it comes to the Midah Poronis, the Midah Poronis is always less than the Midah of Rachmanis. When Hashem has Rachamim, it's with an intensity. When Hashem gets angry, Hashem does not let out his full fury, otherwise we would never survive. So you're saying incredible in Chiddush is that when it comes to
actually doing something to the other.
When it comes to
have contact.
Contact by love. Because I,
no. Well,
so you want to say it's more intense. You're trying to say that there's the opposite. That when it comes to anger, Hashem is gonna get the person. Hashem will eradicate him. Alright, listen.
I just want to say one thing. That started with the noise when the shofar was biting against it, there was one time which they cut off the nose of the ones who they killed, so they couldn't recognize.
They maimed the person. They maimed the person by cutting off their nose. But you cut off their nose.
It's in
history,
in,
all over. And when you do that, you're in a way you are eradicating their uniqueness, their identity. When you take away a person's nose, it's almost as if you're because the nose is the most distinguished feature. Jews, for some reason, have a bad reputation with regard to
the nose. Also represents the life force. That's why when somebody came in, a new pharaoh or of that ilk, they would chip off the nose of the idol. That's what they do.
That's how you mevatel the avodah zarah. Vayibach be'apov nishmas chayim. Since it says in the Torah that the neshama enters through the nose, by defaming the nose, you're trying to snuff out a person's life.
When they embalm a body, they take out the parts through the nose. That's how they used to do it. They would
inject
the insides through the implements
nose.
That they used, or through the nostrils.
A lot of techniques. There are a lot of different techniques. Okay. Ki bi apam hargo ish. What is he saying? It's the hariga. The ki with their nose ki bi apam with their kas ki bi apam hargo ish. There is a drush on that if you, that let's say you ask a person in a shidduchim. What do you know about this boy? So you twitch your nose. You already know it all. It's called drei, drei. There's an expression in Yiddish. You drei mit with the nose, and when you twist your nose just a little bit, it's a statement. Like stay away. So yeah, sure is. Keep your, it's hariga. It's murder. Not just Lashon Hara.
The output in the Sefer says, why is the expression Chaim above us biyada lo shom? Because what you're doing, a lot of times people say, oh, him? I don't want
to. Biyad. Yeah. Biyad. Okay, so it's with the nose. Feigned praise. You can kill a person with feigned praise. You can kill a person with a twist of your nose. And you can kill a person with your hand. Anyone ever, when I was a kid, I used to watch Bewitched. The Shviga, where's Meir today? Oh, that was proud. That's why. Now we know why. That's what affected him. He must love that show, man.
He used to tell Rabbi Jack, the one that writes all that stuff.
Yeah.
When he started out, before he had a smithy yet, he was making speeches. He was assistant rabbi for a year there, and he would quote the Simpsons or MASH or things like that. I said, don't give riots from television shows. It won't be good.
That's right.
Later.
Got to the audience. Yeah. You gotta know your audience. Okay. Pnei Hashem, the Yisrael Achris. Okay, so let's see. Pnei Hashem, the anger of Hashem is be'oisera, is against those who commit evil, lahachris, to cut off me'eretz from the land, zichram, their remembrance.
Huh. There's something else.
Okay, let's just read a few pesukim together.
Okay,
let's just refer to the parah. Tzuaku v'Hashem shamea, they cry out. Tzua they is going back on the tzadikim, v'Hashem shamea. And Hashem saves them, the tzaddikim, from all of their difficulties. Pasuk Yutes, Karv Hashem l'nish v'relev, Hashem is near those who have a broken heart. The es dake ruach Yoshia, those who have a crushed spirit, Yoshia does Hashem save. We'll go through this in a little bit. Let's go through these sukkim right now. So let's start with Pasuk Tes Zayin in the Mitzudais David. Not very much here.
One quick thing.
Yeah, sure.
As opposed to the tzaddikim in Tessayin, it doesn't say Pene Hashem or Rishoim, it says but osei ra. Hate the sin, not the sinner.
Hate the osei ra.
The sin.
Itamu chatoim min aretz. Chatoim veloy choitim. The sin. So, but here it says the osei ra. It does say that. It says those, the practitioners.
The actions. It's the actions. Not
The osei are the practitioners.
Yeah, the actions, not the person.
I don't know. It sounds like the person. I hear what you're saying. You're asking, well, there's a contradiction. There's the famous Gemara with Rabbi Meir and Beruria. Okay, there's the famous Gemara with Rabbi Meir and Beruria. Rabbi Meir was mispalo. There was someone in his neighborhood that was causing him grief. So he took out a chicken. He took out a chicken. He waited desperately to wait until the moment when the crown of the chicken would turn colors, and that is the moment that when Hashem gets angry, and if he would curse that person at that particular moment, he would succeed in eliminating the terrorist from the earth. And what happened? He fell asleep. He fell asleep at precisely that moment, and he said to himself, "Oh." From here I learned that it's not a good thing to do this. I don't remember the exact conversation, and then I think his wife told him, they were discussing this, and he said, that's what it says in the Pasuk, Yitamu chato'im min ha'aretz, may Hashem abolish, may Hashem remove chato'im, sins from the earth. And Chazal da'arshen chato'im v'loy v'tim, sins and sins and not sinners. So Machol really is asking that in this passage there appears to be a contradiction.
Please,
by all means. Good morning, Shalom. Chatoim v'loy choitim. Here it says, so here you're asking the question, Pnei Hashem be'oisei ra. It does not say Pnei Hashem be'ra. It says be'oisei ra. Be'oisei is mashma, the actual practitioner of ra, which is a contradiction to that other Maamar Chazal that says, Yitamu chato'im v'loy choitim. I don't know the answer. And then it goes further, l'achris, to cut off me eretz from the earth, zichram, they should never be remembered. Then there's yizkor. Yizkor l'kim es nishmas plony plony. What is exactly yizkor? What does a person do when you remember the person? To a certain degree, you don't want them to be caught off in this world. You do not, it's the opposite of this expression. You want them, their name, to be remembered in this world. They should not be cut off because they are not from the Oisei Ra. Those neshamas who have left us are from the Oisei Toif. Let's see the Mitzvah study.
By the way, I just wanted to say, I ran to the Chumash before, I mean, I didn't have to really, but it's a mistake in the Mitzvah Sion where he quotes the Pasuk from.
What do you mean?
He says, V'chein etein es ponai,
Vayikra Beis, it's not there?
No, I knew. It's in the bottom. It's in the tub. I knew right away.
Okay, I don't know. A mistake?
Yeah, it's a mistake.
It's a mistake in the art school.
I mean, I looked up Vayikra Beis, Vayikra Gimel. I know. It's Carbonus.
Okay, we caught them. We caught them red-handed. Okay. Ain it tzaddik ba'aretz asher yaseh toiv lo yechata. Okay, let's see. Let's see the Mitzvah Stavit. Let's try to cover some ground. Mitzvah Stavit Pasik Yud Ches on page 301 on the very bottom. Tzoaku Avol Kasher Yitzaku B'Tfila V'Yeshuv L'Hashem Oz Yishma L'Hem V'Yatzilei Mitzor Roisam. When a person davens Tash, now he's saying over here, he's saying a Chiddush. Avol Yud Ches is a continuation of Pasik Yud Zayin. This is not the way I always understood this mizmar. I thought the two different people. We're dealing with the tzaddikim versus the rishoyim. It's a baseball game. Two teams. Okay. We have the tzaddikim and the rishoyim. And it says in Pasuk Yud Zayin that Hashem will obliterate the rishoyim. But Pasuk Yud Ches goes back and it vacillates. We vacillate between the tzaddikim and the rishoyim. And Pasuk Yud Ches says Hashem is going to listen to the prayers of the tzaddikim that are oppressed by these rishoyim. No, that's not what it says. At least according to the Mitzvot of it, Pasuk Yud Ches is part of the teshuva process. That there are people out there who are oisei ra, and they are currently in a process of being cut off from this world. They're zecher, and when these oisei ra recognize what is happening to them, they are frightened. And what do? They cry out to Hashem that the process should not continue. Tso'aku, they. Who are the they? Who is the subject of the word tso'aku? It is the Oisei Ra. The Oisei Ra who are now experiencing obliteration. They're in the process. It's not a 1 second thing. Being cut off from the earth is not a one moment activity. It takes time. It's a process. And when they see what's happening, they do teshuva, tso'aku. That's what it says in the Sumsuz. It's saying incredible chidushin. He's learning Shah the Pasim. We're dealing with one. Okay, so we'll come back a second, right? So the Pasim Yudchet, tso'aku, avo. Okay, he's saying chidushim, chidushim nifloim. Wondrous chidushim. Avo. Kasher yitzaku bitzvila, v'yoshuvu la'ashem. And they do teshuva, oz. Then, yishma lohem v'yatzilem yitzoroisim. Hashem listens, Hashem saves them, period. Okay, this is the chiddush of the mitzvah. So let's finish up the next pasuk. Pasuk Yutes, Karav Hashem l'nish b'relev, ha-machliya atzmo v'shov mi-ma'asav. Same exact principle that this is all part of the process of teshuva. Rashi, pasuk Yitzayim p'nei, ponim shel zam. Karav Machol, what is that old French word? How do you
pronounce it? It's a combination word, but the key is aleph yud resh. Ire.
Okay.
I-R-E.
I-R-E, that I haven't heard that word in a long time. Yeah. Ire is kas. Kimoy v'santi ani es ponai bo ishahu. I will say, here you have again the word ponai. Okay, this refers to the Zokin Mamre, I think. The Zokin Mamre, who reads right, his pasuk. Yeah. Is it? No, can't be. Can't be. This refers to a Mesis, Mediach. Okay, whatever it is. V'santi es ponai bo ishahu. A person who does not have whatever he's doing, whatever the context there is. So here Rav Kalman picked up on this, and Rav Kalman says over here that according to Rashi clearly disagrees with the Mitzudos. I guess we always say the Mitzudos came long after Rashi, and Mitzudos was Malakit. It means over here that they're drawing from different sources. Rashi over here says Tsoaku Hatzadikim v'Hashem Shemeh. We are vacillating. Mikotze el kotze. We're discussing two different kitos. Two different groups of people. Here at first it says the Pasuk Yitzayin, in Pasuk going back and forth, we're going Tezayin is Eini Hashem El Tzadikim. Then we go to Pasuk Yitzayin, Tezayin we live with the Tzadikim, Pasuk Yitzayin with the Rishoyim, Pasuk Yitches with the Tzadikim, and then Pasuk Yutes, I guess it's also the Tzadikim going back and forth.
Yeah.
It appears to be it's uncomfortable. Now it's not so uncommon. You have very often this contrast. More often than not, the way you bring out a principle is by contrasting it with the opposite. And here, when it's a technique. When you only focus on one element and you don't see the other side, the other extreme, sometimes you don't appreciate what you have. When you have a contrast, when you have here Einei Hashem El Tzadikim V'yaznav El Shavosam, in contrast to the Rishoim, the Pnei Hashem Be'oseiro L'Hachris Me'eret Zichram, and now we go back to the Tzadikim Tzoaku the Tzadikim V'Hashem Shomea, right, you know, it doesn't really help all that much. However, there is another element, and that is it says, "Umikol tzoroi sam hitzilam." In pasuk Yudches, who are the tzoros? What are the tzoros of the tzaddikim? So, a rachmana litzlan, a person with all different types of problems. But when you contrast the tzaddikim with the rishoim, what it possibly means is that the tzoros of the tzaddikim are the persecution of the rishoim. A tzaddik has many problems. Okay, he has problems with parnasa. He has problems with this, with that. But then there's a problem when he's being harassed and attacked by the wicked. When the wicked are coming to destroy the tzaddik, there are crazy people out there in the world that, I don't know, if whatever the crazy reasons are, they don't want tzaddikim to live in this world. Okay, Hitler, yimach shemo v'zichro. Chmelnitsky, yimach shemo v'zichro. Okay, the Crusaders, what's it to you? Live and let live. Do whatever you want to go do. Don't bother or not. Don't. What are you coming to bother other people? Live and let live. No. Meshugas, crazy. The Rishoim cannot tolerate Tzadikim. So the Tzadikim, the Tzara of the Tzadik is the Rasha. There are times in this world when the Tzadikim have their own private personal problems. And then there are problems when the tzaddikim are suffering from persecution from their rishon. In this context, when it says so'aku, they according to Rashi, the tzaddikim cry out, the Hashem shomei and Hashem hears, what are they crying out from? What are they crying out from? Umikol tzoroisam, all of their difficulties, hitzilam, what are the tzoroisam? Well, l'choira, according to Rashi, what they're crying out from is from the oisei ra, who are coming to attack them.
You can see the connection of pasuk tet zayin and yud zayin. The oznav el shavatam. Shavatam from what?
From the oisei ra.
Same idea. So now he goes back to the tzaddikim.
L'choira, you have to say it according to Rashi.
It's a back and forth.
Okay, but it's more than back and forth. It's not just tzaddikim have prop. You have a tzaddik, he has no parnasa. He has a big family, and he's in a lot of trouble. That's a problem. But that's not the problem of this pasuk. Of this pasuk, the tzaddik may have very good parnasa. Problem over here is that the Rishon are trying to destroy him, trying to shut down his business because he's a Jew. He's been trying,
is
they're
it
trying.
Shut down, or is it internal?
What do you mean internal? His own problems?
Meaning Jewish Rishon.
Yes, that also. that also, and he doesn't say goyim necessarily.
No,
the oisei ra includes any practitioner of evil, Jew, non-Jew, makes no difference. Of course.
I don't want you to have.
What I...
The Rosh says, I don't want you to have.
Okay, but the nature of rishus is very hard to understand. The anti-Semitism, we discussed many times, there are many varieties of anti-Semitism in this world. Each has its own flavor. When we deal with difficulties, ordinarily we deal with their own problems. We don't necessarily look at every difficulty coming from outside forces. Person has issues in life, and it's a tzar. He has to have a solution. In this pasuk, it would appear that according to Rashi, we are focusing specifically on difficulties that are coming upon a person from outside forces of the Rishoyim. The Rishoyim are coming to attack and destroy the Tzaddikim, and Hashem is now going to protect the Tzaddikim, like Ikvus of the Mashiach, Melchemes Gog u'Magog, and throughout Jewish history, where Jews have always been under the attack of our enemies. Okay, that's not what it says in the Mitzvah Stav. In the Mitzvah Stav, it says over here that we're dealing with only with one category of people. We're dealing with tzaddikim, and even the Rishoyim, when they do teshuva, they will also join the team and become tzaddikim.
By the way, they didn't make a mistake. It's my eyes. It said, I thought it said Vayikra Beis, it's Vayikra Chaf.
Don't worry, we can say they made a mistake. It's
no,
okay.
No. I mean, it's my error. No, it's my eyes.
The glazer.
You still playing.
Okay, let's.
I don't want to be motioned.
The eyes are not.
Okay, let's. Okay, let's move ahead. Let's move ahead. The Mari Chazal. No, that we did already. Yes, let's go. Let's proceed. Let's go to the next pasuk. Rabbis, roi tzaddik umikulam yatzilenu Hashem. Okay, so we're going back to the tzaddikim. Rabbis, many are the rois, are the evils of the tzaddikim, of the tzaddik. Notice that we change over here from the tzaddikim to the tzaddik to the yachid. I'm sorry. Karv Hashem. So the lishme leiv. There are no mafarshim on this. At least we're not. There are, but we're not going to do. We're just going to go further. There are no. I don't. You want to go see the Radak. The Radak says in pasuk Yutes, Karoiv Hashem Karoiv Lishmoyat Zakosam Usafilosam V'yestakei Ruch Yoshia Kefil In B'Miloy Shonis. Poetic repetition. Okay, let's go further. Let's go to the next pasuk. The next pasuk says, Sur Rabois Roi Tzadik. There are many Rois to the Tzadik. Umikulam Yatzilenu Hashem. Pasuk Chafalef Shomer Kol Atz Moisav Achas Mehena Lo Nishvar. Hashem guards all of the bones. How many bones does a person have? 248 bones. How many sinews, muscles, and sinews does a person have? 365. Where are the bones? The bones are found in Masechta Oyalos. I believe right is Masechta Mishnayis. Mishnayis is in Masechta Oyalos.
bones, is it? It's organs, right?
No, bones. The Mishnah lists all of the bones. A fascinating Mishnah, Mamasha, Beferisha Mishnah. It goes through all the bones of a person. And every single bone counts. Rabbis, Shomer Hashem guards, kol atzmoy stuff, all of his bones. Achas, Mehina, Loi Nishbor, not even one of the bones of the tzaddik is broken. We have to understand what that means. Let's just finish up the Mizmar. Timoises Rosha Ra'a. What does it mean, the word Timoises? This is a little bit hard to translate. We don't hear the Mitzudes David Sheharasha. You have to read it backwards. He tamis oisoi. Return loymar heavoin beatzmai mekadreig olak. This is what they tell children. They tell to adults also is that every time a person does an avera, the avera creates a mekadreig in shemayim, and that avera comes to attack the person. In other words, the rasha kills himself. You have to read the words backwards. The ra'ah of the rasha timoses. Read it backwards. The ra'ah timoses rasha. Okay, we read it. The evil
it will boomerang.
It will boomerang. The evil of the rasha is what destroys himself. What destroys? He does himself in. When a rasha does an avera. So there are many different ways to explain this. In a more Kabbalistic sense, what the Mitzudas David is saying is he creates a malach in Shemayim, and that malach in Shemayim goes before Hashem and complains and serves as a prosecutor. And then Hashem issues a din, indeed, this fellow should die. Okay, that's more of a Kabbalistic approach. But in a simpler approach, it's the action itself boomerangs, the action itself, you're only hurting yourself. As we say in English, you're only hurting yourself. The ra'ah, the evil of the rasha, timoses, it kills him. It destroys, it has the nature of bringing a korban upon himself. We have to see this in more words in a few moments. Let's just finish this up. Okay, next. Those who hate the righteous are guilty. They will be declared guilty. Let's read one more pause. We'll go back on the old refreshment side. Hashem redeems the soul of his servants. Read it backwards. Those that seek refuge in Hashem will never be declared guilty. Obviously, these words are very, very deep, very complex, very profound. Let's take them one at a time. Let's go look at the Mitzudas David first and Pasik. Pasuk Chaf says, Rabbis Ros, Af im Yavo al Tzadik Rois Rabbis, Ein Toichalto Ne'evda, his hope. It's a very beautiful word, that word, Toichalto, his hope is not lost, ki mikulam yatzilenu Hashem. So Rashi, the Mitzvah stuff is explaining the Pasuk in a unique way. Rabbis, when we read this on Shabbos, I used to, you like to think about this Mizmor saying that Rabbis Ro'ot Tzadik means that it never happens. There are many forces out there in the world that are about to attack and come upon a person. And Hashem shields. Baruch Ato Hashem, Mogein Avraham, Hashem shields you and protects you that these difficulties never overcome the person. That's not really what the Mitzvah stuff it says. The Mitzvah stuff it seems to say is that they do overcome a person. They do overcome the person. Af, Im Yavo Al Tzadik, even if they do come, Al Hatzadik Ro'os Rabbis.
See, Rabbos Ro'os Tzadik, there's no verb there. It does, something has to be filled in.
That's what he's filling in.
That's I'm saying.
Right, we said that the Ro'os have come upon the person.
All the proportion are looking to fill in
what
that gap.
Air conditioning here today? Are you warm?
Yes,
it is. Okay, so let's see if it goes on. Take some minute. Oh, why not? Af ro'os rabbis, even if, so he's right, he's coming to fill in. What is he coming to fill in? Af, im yovoy al tzadik ro'os rabbos. He's filling in that even if
you need a verb there, there's no verb.
Correct. Even if many ro'os do overcome a tzadik, all hope is not lost. That clearly means the person's in a lot of trouble. he's in a very dangerous situation that he would wish never came upon him. It's not that Hashem protected him. He doesn't even realize that he's walking a minefield. And then 5 years later, he realized, wow, you know how dangerous that situation was? And look at that, B'Hashkacha Pratzei Kodesh Baruch Hu Seidim. That's not what it says. It says that the person acknowledges at this very moment that he is in a lot of trouble. And yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at that moment, Hashem spears him. All hope is not lost. Hashem will get him out, will extricate him from his difficulties. Next, Pasuk Chav, there is no commentary on this from the Mitzudos. Pasuk Chav Beis, as we said before, to Moises, Hara'ah, notice that he's reading the words backwards. First word to translate is the word Ra'ah. The second word is the middle word, Rasha. Hara'ah, She Harasha Oiseh. He, the evil itself, Tamis Oisai, will kill him. He harms no one but himself with his evil actions. Ritzoy Nolaymar, He'avoin Atzmai, the sin itself, Mikatregolav. Okay, that's a more Kabbalistic approach, is that he creates a malach, but it doesn't even necessarily have to mean that. It eats him up. A person knows that he has done an Avera. It eats him up. How many times, we mentioned this last week, how many times you see in the news that there are cold cases. There's a murder that happened 30 years ago, and it was a celebrated murder, and it was in the newspapers, and at the end of the day, no one knew who did it. No one knew who did it. And then all of a sudden, 30 years later, a person walks into the police station and says, and he confesses, I did it. And he proves, he actually shows that he did it. What are you coming out 30 years later? You already got away with it. How much more time do you have to live? It's been eating me up my whole life. It eats me up. The fact that I committed this crime and I can't live with myself. No, that's a good person. At least I'm not. I committed a crime. It's not so good, but at least he has the moral presence of mind that bothers him, and the avera itself, the conscience to acknowledge his avera, the avera itself, it destroys him. He cannot live with himself knowing the crime that he committed. I know someone. He passed away a long time ago. This person. He was driving, and a kid, an African American, ran right into the car right in front of him, and he killed him. And it was totally not his fault. Totally not his fault what happened. And he became clinically depressed because of this. Could not live with himself. He was driving, totally, and a kid just ran right in front of the car, and he hit him. Stopped, and the kid was killed. He quit, and this is a very chashuv person. Yeah. And he went crazy. He literally went crazy, literally. And for many, many years, he was taking medication, therapy. It just bothered him to no end that he was responsible for this child's death. And who is this child? A child that probably, I don't even know if he had a father. A child that was total hefker. Who knows what this kid would have turned out to be. I have no idea what it would have been. He could not live with himself. And that was, he was totally not responsible. Zero responsibility for what has happened. Yet, it just weighed on him. Alachas kama v'kama, could you imagine a person actually goes, biodai, does an avera? He does something consciously, premeditated, and then he comes to a sense, realizes what he does. The act itself of doing an avera, of going against Hashem, that itself can eat up a person alive. And that's exactly what it says. The ro'ah of the Rasha Timoises.
That's what the Chazal translate, I cannot time about public.
Moitzin es Adam. They themselves. They themselves are Moitzin es Adam.
You
can't live with yourself.
Bothers you so much that it kills you.
I see something else. In this word, it says temotet. It doesn't say tamit.
Okay.
It's a double mavet. Mavet ba'olam hazeh.
And in the olam
haba.
Very
it
nice.
It keeps feeling here and
a death of intensity.
It's true.
It's a death of intensity. The agmas nefesh. Absolutely. Temoses is loshen b'loshen rabim. A double death. A double death. Pasuk of gimel. Poydel here learns the very Hashem redeems. There's a redemption. The person that, I guess this maybe is the proof that when it's in a pasuk chaf, it means that the tsaros have already arrived. Because if it says here the word poydel, poydel is a word which usually means a person is already in prison. He is already in a beis ha'asurin and he needs to be released. So being that it says in pasuk chavim poydel bigumul, schar ha'asim toivim poydel min atzah Hashem extricates this person from the difficulty. Or that is Mitsudois David. Let's see Rashi Pasikhov, Rabbi Israel Sadiq. Harbe Rois Ufi Chodim Baos Alov Unikulam Nitzol. It is very interesting that Rashi is not satisfied with the word Rois. Rashi asked it Ufi Chodim. Fears. What's it called? Phobies. Phobies? How do you say the word? What? Phobies. 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 Harbe ra'ois ufichadim. A person in life, you live in fear. Pachat. It's a horrible thing. Horrible thing to have daigus, to worry what's going to be. Rashi is a little bit different than when it says in the mitzudas. Harbe ra'ois. A ra'a obviously means, according to the law of mitzudas, means he is already in trouble. He already has a difficulty. And then there are things ufichadim. Pachat usually refers to you are afraid of what's going to happen in the future. Right now, there is nothing. Right now, everything is a grab of pachat. I'm afraid what's going to be tomorrow. There are many types of these things. Bos alof umikulam nitzol yisei. Pasuk chav alof shomer HaKadosh Baruch Hu kol atzmoisav. Hashem guards all of his bones. That needs hezber. We'll come to that soon. Pasuk chav beis timoiseis rosh ha-ra'ah. Timoiseis es ha-rosho ha-ra'ah shehu yisei. Soon the same exact thing. That just not reading backwards for us. But timoiseis es ha-rosho. What it will kill, it will bring death to the Rasha, comma. What will bring death to the Rasha, comma? Hora'ah shehu oiseh. The Mitzvah stuff was a bit more poetic in how he explained this. Just solicitly read the words backwards. When you read the words backwards, it's very, very simple. The Ra'ah of the Rasha to Moises. To Moises, tamis. It means to bring death. They will not be guilty. I'm guilty that I had faith in you. Ramachal, what is that word over there?
Look at the first part. It spells the French equivalent of repent.
Ooh, repent. Repent. Now, this is very, very interesting. Now, let's first read the Sipsa Zakanim. Perish Rashi Zal. Lo yischartu nirish shekivin b'zem b'deloik sif komat sakas hashem. The word yeshamu, he's explaining over here, lo yeshu, lo yeshamu. Okay, this is a
right.
So, see, right. Explaining over here the translation, I translated that they will not be guilty. They will not be declared guilty. Rashi says that's wrong. That's not what it means. They will not have charot. They will not have regret in having faith in Hashem. Now, where does the word osham come to regret? Asham means you're guilty. Asham hu, ashoim asham laHashem. Says in the pasuk, you bring a carbon asham. A carbon asham is a serious guilt offering. Person did an aveira, he's guilty. He did. So where does the word lo yeeshmu? It means simply he's not guilty. So Rashi says no, that's not what it means. It means they will not have regret in having faith in Hashem. Lo yischar to loymar ashamu. I'm guilty. Shechosimi b'cha. We made a mistake. We're guilty in this that we have faith in you. Now, first of all, we have to have the grammar to prove this. And then we have to understand the depth of what this means. So, as far as the grammar is concerned, if it really means they will not be declared guilty, it should say lo yis near shekim zem nidlixim kamat takas hashem. It should say lo yeshamu. Now, the problem is it does say kamat under the shin. I'm sorry, it says lo yeshemu. There's a shiva. I by mistake look at pasuk of chavbeis. Pasuk chav gimel. Pasuk of poyde Hashem nefesh avod. Hashem redeems the soul of his servants. The lo, it does not say lo yeshamu. If it would say the lo yeshamu, then it would mean they will not be declared guilty. But it does not have a komatz underneath the shin. Instead, there is a shva. kimoybi pasuk chavet, like it says in the previous pasuk. Zemoyre al l'shoin hispael. This indicates that this is a different form of the word. It's not the classic form. There are seven binyanim, and this is hispael, to cause others. I think this means to cause. Let's read further. V'zeh sheperish Rashi zal lo yischartu, they will not have regret. Shemoyre al chayzek ha'pu'ula bi'atzmo dekalohavim. Okay, so a single here is Hashem will not cause them. Hashem is the one here, is the subject. V'lo ye'eshmu, Hashem will not be the cause of a man looking back in his life and saying that I made a foolish mistake, I am guilty of having faith in Hashem.
That's the person, not Hashem.
No, that's exactly what he's saying. Lo yeshu lo shmi spael. Hispael, whenever there's a suffer.
He will not admit to himself that he was wrong.
He will not...
not accuse himself.
He will not accuse himself. There's a cause.
Okay, the key to himself.
The low, he will not. Is it Hashem or is it man himself? I'm not so sure.
Man.
So man will never come to a point in time where he will say about himself that I am guilty, that I am guilty because I had faith in Hashem. I had an opportunity to do something, and it was not such a great idea, but I decided, you know, I'm going to have faith in Hashem. And now I look back in life and I realize, you know, I had too much faith. I had too much faith. I should have done more hishtadlus. I should have engaged more activity in order to protect myself, to take care of myself. That's a very dangerous thing. No one wants at the end of his life to look back and say that he made mistakes. So a person who is a true tzaddik, a person has to be very careful. You have to know where you're holding. But we're dealing over here with the tzaddik, the righteous person, and the righteous person, that's the subject of this pasuk. To Moisés Rosh Tzaddik, those who hate tzaddikim are guilty. And we're dealing here with the nefesh avodah. The nefesh avodah, I guess, the synonym for a tzaddik. A person who is in the category of the nefesh avodah, Hashem takes care of these people, and Hashem at the end will always come and help them, and they will never find themselves in a situation where they will look back and say, you know, it was a mistake. It was a mistake to have faith in Hashem. Hashem is good to his word. He does not default on the loan. Someone who has faith in Hashem, in essence, is really extending a loan to Hashem. Hashem does not default on his loan. He always pays back the person when the person needs it the most. And so the yeshmu, the osham here, is the person declaring himself guilty because I should have had faith in Hashem. Vilo, Hashem will see to it that this delicate neshama, who is the nefesh avodah, will not come to a point in life where he suffers to the degree where he will then look back and say, you know, I made a mistake that I had faith in Hashem. Okay, this is a very, very profound concept, and we discuss this many times in regard to end of life. End of life is, Chazal mentioned this, is that a person can be a tzaddik his entire life. If chas v'sholem, at the end of his life, when he's a goises, lying on his deathbed, he has charata, he looks back and he says, you know, I went down this path in life, and I have charata, and he, it's a terrible thing. It's a horrible, horrible thing. And that's why at the end of life, there are different halachas and things that are done. We go out of our way to make sure, and a person to do this himself and others as well, to make sure that he leaves this world in a frame of mind of simcha. We don't understand how this works. No one came back to tell us how this works. You can argue. And a person lived a life of righteousness. At the end of his life, he says, I have charata. Why should it really make a difference? The bottom line is, you are mekadesh, the shem Hashem, your entire life. So just because the end of the person's life, things were not so great, and he had a lot of problems, and he became bitter, and he said things that were not proper. Why should it take away from his accomplishments and his righteousness of his entire life? It's not easily understood, such a concept. However, Chazal, they're very nervous about this. I don't have the exact Gemara in front of us, but the Gemara says that a person has to be extremely careful. Extremely careful. Person spent his whole life doing good things, not to have charata. Even though we are great misyonis, stay the course. And the moment of leaving this world is a very critical moment. Here, this pasuk is coming to say the Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to help a person in that matzav. Hashem will redeem the, when the person is in the matzav of tzara, and he needs redemption, and he was faithful to Hashem as being from the category of the nefesh avodah. Hashem will grant him siyata d'shmaya to continue to have faith, so he should never question himself and say, "I am guilty. I should not have had faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu." It's a very profound rationale.
That's why
I'll talk
to the Atzmah, I do most.
The person needs Siyata D'Shmaya.
So
look
what's
at it.
Podeh
means to redeem a person from himself. A person is depressed. A person is in the matzav of tzara. And a person can say to himself, "I made a mistake. Look, I'm in a very difficult position now because I had faith in Hashem." I'll give you a classic example. When they came to Kriyas Yamsuf, Moshe got up to daven to Hashem. By Yitzhak, what was the passage before Kriyas Yamsuf? So then Hashem says, "Vayom Hashem el Moshe, ma Yitzhak elai, daver v'yisol." So Rashi there says, from here we learn that Moshe at Kriyas Yamsuf was in a desperate situation. And he began to be misfala before they jumped in. Mitzrayim was on one side, the Yam was on the other side, and Moshe began to pray to Hashem. Hashem said to Moshe, "Moshe, now is not the time to daven. Daber el b'nei Yisrael v'yiso." Question, why not? Why itach is not the time to daven? Why not? It's always a good time to daven. Adarabha, now is the time to daven. So Rashi answers this question in a very profound way. Rashi says, "Kidai hu ho'emuna sheheminu bi." It is sufficient in the emuna which they had in me at the time when you, Moshe Rabbeinu, came to them, and said, "Pokoid pokadeti." In other words, like, let's explain like this. When Moshe, here's the question. When a person is faced with a dilemma, there are two things you can do. Either you can daven, or you can just go forward, meaning have emuna. Now, I'm talking in circles, let me explain. When Klal Yisrael, Moshe came to Klal Yisrael and said, "Pokoi pokati," the pasuk says, "Vayamein Ha'am." The people believed. They demonstrated emunah. "Moshe, you are telling us we're going to leave Mitzrayim, and you said the code word pokoit pokadeti. We believe you." Vayamein ha'am. Now, Klal Yisrael, because they believed in Moshe Rabbeinu, they, because of that emunah, they now find themselves in a very, very desperate situation. If when you, Moshe Rabbeinu, came to us a year ago and did not and said pokoid pokati, if we would not have said vayamein ha'am today, we would not find ourselves in this matzav. Right now, here we are. We're about to die. The Mitzrayim are coming to kill us. In front of us is a dead end. We're about to die. Why? How did we get here? How do we get here? You know how we got here? Because we had faith. That's how we got here. Because a year ago, you came to us and you said pokoi pokadeti, and we believed you. We believed you. Vayamein ha'am. The people believe that Hashem has now decided to redeem the Jewish people. So the reason why we're about to die right now is because we had faith in you. Hashem says to Moshe, when you have a problem, trace the source of your problem. Trace it. Trace it. If the source of your problem is because you had emuna, then the solution to the problem is have more emuna. Have more emuna. You don't have to daven. No daven. Just keep on going. Jump into the yam. Have emuna. You don't have to daven. Davening is not a mood. I mean, davening is you're looking for an opening. I have a problem. Hashem, please help me. And you're waiting for miracles to happen. You're waiting for the... Hashem didn't tell them a miracle. Hashem, just go into the yam. If you, the source of your problem is emuna, the solution is more emuna. Matitzak elai. Don't daven to me. Just have faith. Jump into the water. Jump into the water and the water will split. That's in this one. It is Podashem Nefesh Avda Velo Yeshmu Kalachay Simbo. Here, the pasuk is describing a person who has a very, very big problem. He's in a lot of trouble. He needs pidyon. He needs redemption. What's the solution? The solution, and he, this person needs redemption, but this person is from the Nefesh Avodov. He is Nefesh Avodov. I'm suggesting to you, based on what Rashi is saying, is a person who is a maimon. The reason why he need, the reason how he got himself into this situation is because he had faith. Now he's in a lot of trouble. So we can say, you know why I have all of this trouble? It's because I had faith in Hashem. And it's a mistake. I should not have had faith in Hashem. I should have just been regular, just like by Moshe. When Moshe came and told them, we should have ignored him. If we would have ignored him, then we would not be in this situation. Klal Yisrael had an esoyon of having charota. We have regret. We declare our, we have regret that we had faith in Moshe and Hashem. Because if we would not have faith in Hashem, then no, we wouldn't be in a state of danger. Hashem says no such thing. If you had faith in me, it is my duty now to save you when you're in a situation that is a product of your faith. Without you even davening to me. Daber el b'nei Yisrael v'Yisrael. Poda Hashem. Hashem on his own will come to the redemption. Hashem will initiate a salvation for the Nefesh Avodah, for people who now find themselves in a difficult situation because they had faith in Hashem, so that they should not come and say, you know, it was a big mistake to have faith in Hashem. If I did not have faith in Hashem, today I would not be in trouble. Hashem says, no, I'm not going to let that happen. If you find yourself in life in a situation of difficulty only because you had faith in me, it's my duty to save you, to be poyde you immediately, so that you should not entertain the thought of, you know, what a mistake it was back then to have faith in a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Look where that led me. That led me to this miserable situation that I am in now. Is that what Rashi is saying? V'lo yeshu, Hashem will not allow a person to have regret and declare himself guilty for having faith, hachoysim bo. It's intolerable, such a situation. Matitzak elai. You don't have to dive into me anymore. You're now in a matzav. You got into this matzav because of a yamein ha'on. Klal Yisrael is in a matzav of the nefesh avodov. And now, because you had faith in me, you find yourself in a matzav where you're about to die. And now you're going to say to yourself, wow, we were fools. We had faith in Hashem. And look where that got us. We have charata that we had faith. We have charata that we had faith in Hashem. And we have no one to blame for ourselves, our problems, but ourselves. We are guilty of what we did for ourselves, not in faith for Hashem. Hashem says no such thing. Poideh Hashem. I will come to your salvation. B'chore, that's what Rashi Levi was saying. Rashi is saying to Moses, lo yeshu, lo yischar to lemar. Hashem will not allow it to happen, that a person will have charata to say, oshamnu, we are guilty, shechosinu b'cho, that we had faith in you.
By the way, I have learned something. This pasuk should not be there, because the taf is the end.
Excellent, right, correct. Good.
But he doesn't want to finish with the negative. Not only this, so what's the solution? So he wants to say that lachasot b'Hashem, that's the purpose here,
the he's saying is good, he's saying the word yeshamu,
it doesn't belong to the parent, but at the end, so what's the solution? Solution is that's a positive thing.
Right, that needs to be addressed. Is that this mizmor is according to the letters of the Aleph Beis, and over here we have Pasuk Chav Gimel. Chav Gimel, there are only 22 letters in the Aleph Beis. Well, first of all, the first Pasuk is not part of it, because the first Pasuk is the Agdama of Dudan, the Shanais, and the Amelach, and the Yelach, and it begins with Pasuk Al Yelach. But we're missing the Vav. The mystery, there are two big mysteries in this mizmar. The Vav is missing. He bitu elav v'noharu ufineim al yech paru. That's not, where's the Vav? Think ufineim, that's not a fair Vav. Okay, he bitu, the Vav is missing. And then at the very end, we have an extra pasuk of poideh Hashem nefesh avadav lo yesh mukol lachosim bo. Rav Kalman is saying very good that you don't want to be misayim with dover rah, that those who hate the tzaddik will be declared guilty, even though we're referring to the Rishoim, they will be guilt. So the pasuk simply ends off and takes the guilt. V'lo yeshmu kol ha'chaisim bo, we won't be misayim dever toif. So we take the concept of guilt and we declare that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to abandon his faithful ones and allow them to declare themselves guilty. Okay, he's not going to let that happen. But still in all, why is there an extra pasuk? Chav, extra pasuk, letter pay from all letters, and we're missing the Vav. Is there a relationship between the letter Vav and the letter pay? a double pay. Okay, so this is Mir Hashem. Maybe we'll do tomorrow. We'll see. We'll do maybe a little bit more. Well, maybe tomorrow we'll see. We'll already go to Mizmor Lamed Hey. We'll see tomorrow. Take a short break, and then we're going to continue discussing the kinois of Tisha B'Av.